The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us in Parashas Yisro, Shmei Shutes Pasuk Tes Zayin. These are the psukim which deal to immediately preceding the giving of the Torah. Vayhi vayom ha-shlishi, and it was on the third day. They were commanded, Yisrael was commanded to keep 3 days of purity and then go to Sinai to receive the Torah. Yes haboker, and it was the morning. It was right at sunrise. Vayhi kolos uvrokim va'onim kovid alahor. And there was great thunder, lightning, heavy clouds which covered the mountain. The kol shofar chazok mi'ed, and the sound of the shofar was very strong. Vayecharad kol ha'om asher b'machaneh, and all of the nation that was in the camp trembled. Vayetze Meisha es ha'om likras elokim min ha'machaneh, and Meisha took the nation from the camp to meet Hashem. Vayishatzfu b'shachti sohor, and they stood beneath the mountain. The Har Sinai Oshan Kulei Bibnei Asher Yorer Olov Hashem Ba'ish, and the Mount Sinai was full of fire. Full of fire and smoke. It was full of smoke because Hashem came down on the mountain in a fire. Vayal Ashonei Ki Eshen Akifshon, and the smoke went up like Eshen Akifshon, like the smoke that comes from a furnace. Yachrat kolohor mi'ed, and the entire mountain trembled. Vahi kol ha'shefer holech v'chozik me'od, and the sound of the shefer went and became increasingly stronger. Meisha yedaber olekim yanena v'kol. Meisha would speak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer with his voice. Now these psukim mention the various, these psukim mention the various miracles or phenomenons which took place at the time of the giving of the Torah. We see that there was kelis, there was great sounds and thunder and brokim, lightning, and there was heavy clouds and smoke and so forth. Now what does this all have to do with the giving of the Torah? This is something that we do not find in other places. The Maral brings in Feresh Yisrael, in Perek Lamed and Perek Lamed Aleph, that when a great wonder happens, or something very unusual happens, something which is very extraordinary, a great change takes place, so this causes other changes to follow it. This causes other extraordinary things to follow. And perhaps one of the most extraordinary happenings that ever took place since the time of the creation was the giving of the Torah. The giving of the Torah to this world. Because Torah is not from this world, Torah is from another world. And therefore, Torah coming into this world, Vayera Hashem, that Hashem came down onto Har Sinai. This was perhaps the most extraordinary, unusual happening, the greatest phenomena that would ever take place since the time of creation. And therefore, it would bring with it other phenomena, other changes. This is why we see all of this, the thunders and the lightnings, clouds, smoke, why this all followed or preceded or came together with the giving of the Torah. The Gemara in Masechtas Vochim on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Gemara tells us in the beginning of Parshas Yisro. It states Vayishma Yisrael Kain Bijun Chesein Meshe, that Yisro, who was the father-in-law of Meshe, heard Kol Asher Osa Lekim LaMeshe LeYisrael. He heard everything that Hashem did to Meshe, to Israel, and he took his daughter, the wife of Moshe, and the two sons, and Vayova Yisrael, and he came to Moshe in the desert. So in this Gemara, in Zvochim Kuvta Zayin, there's a discussion. What did Yisro hear? It says, Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard. What in particular did he hear that made him come? He was Yeshev B'Kvedi Shalelem. Yisro was like a prince, and he lived amongst great wealth. And here he's coming into the desert, into a barren desert, to Moshe. And the motivation was is that he wanted to become part of Israel. Eventually he was Megayer, he converted. So the discussion, the question is, Vayishma Yisrael, Vayovei, Ma Shmua Shoma Ubo. What did Yisrael hear that made him come? And there's a discussion in the Gemara. One opinion is, Rebleza Madi Eimer, Ma Nteri Shoma Ubo. He heard the giving of the Torah. Now the question is, if he heard the giving of the Torah, how did he happen to hear the giving of the Torah? He wasn't at Har Sinai. So what did he hear? So he explains, Shenikna Torah l'Yisrael, because when Torah was given to Israel, Hayekele Helech Misefe Lamatsefe. Great crashes, great thunderings. The voice, the sound of the giving of the Torah, the sounds that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu went from one end of the world to the other. V'chol malchei ha'evdei kechovim ochaz oson ro'ado b'heichaleihem. And all of the kings of the world shook and trembled with fear in their palaces and castles. V'omru shiro sh'ne'amar b'heichalei kula imer kovet. And they started to sing praise to the Almighty. They wanted to know what was happening. This was something that never happened before. They heard thundering and crashes. The world shook from one end to the other. So they, who did they go to ask? They all went and they sent emissaries to Bilam. Bilam was the Novi of the Umay Sa'ilam. He was the prophet of the nations of the world, and they asked him, what is this great noise? What is this great noise that we hear? Perhaps another flood is coming to the world, as it states, Hashem Lamabul Yoshev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits over the flood. Perhaps he's bringing another great flood to the world. He answered, no. He's already taken an oath that he'll never bring another flood to the world. So it cannot be that. He swore that he would never bring a flood of water, but perhaps a flood of fire he would bring. Kodesh Baruch Hu extracts judgment by fire. Bilam answered, no. Don't have to worry about that. He's already sworn that he will not destroy all flesh. So Ma'akol Hamona Zeshishomanos. So they asked, then, if that's so, what is this great noise and thunder and crashes that we hear? Omalehem, he said, Chem de Tevi Yesh Lei Bebeis Genozov. The Almighty had a Chem de Tevi. He has something which is very, very precious to him, more precious than anything else, and he has concealed it. It was concealed, the Beis Genozov, it was concealed in his most trusted places. And it's been concealed for 974 generations, Kedem Shenivra Elo, from before the creation of the world. Ubikesh Litna Levonov, and now he wants to give it to his children. Shenemar Hashem Oz La'amo Yitain. Kadosh Baruch Hu will give Oz. Oz means a fierce strength. Ein Oz Ela Torah. Oz refers to Torah. Miyad Poschu Kulam. Heard this, they all exclaimed, "The Omru Hashem Yevareich Es Amei Vashalom," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless his nation with peace. So here again we see that these thunders, the Kalis, were so strong that not only the camp Klal Yisrael heard it, and not only did they tremble, but the whole world heard it. All of the kings trembled. They thought the world was coming to an end. They came to Bilam and asked him, "What is it? Is it a flood? Is it fire? Is it the end of the world?" The Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Bilam answered, "No. Chem di genuze yesh leila Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu has his most precious possession, the genuza, and it's been concealed for 974 generations before creation. And now he wants to give it. He wants to bring it into this world. So together with this world, together with this, together is coming all of these great noises and crashes." Now, we can make the following observations from the Gemara. This is what the Maral does. Firstly, it's explaining that Torah is something not from this world. It's not a product of this world. It's from another world. And not only is it from another world, it preceded the world. It preceded the world by many, many thousands of years. And it's the Chem de Genuza. It's the most precious item of the Almighty, which he concealed in his most trusted places. So therefore, when something like that comes into this world, it has to create enormous changes. And therefore, we see these natural phenomena taking place. What is the significance of the Tov Tov Kufain Dalet Deiris, 974 generations? Rashi explains, because in Tilim it states, Dovet Siva Le'elav Dor, in Tilim Kufay, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded the Torah to the thousandth generation. And there were 26 generations from the first man until Moshe. So therefore, with 26 generations and 974, you get 1,000 generations. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the Torah 1,000 generations before it was given. And since it was given in the 26th generation, so therefore he created it 974 generations before the world was created. And this also comes to teach us how nivdal, how separated, how much above Torah is from this world. Dovet Siva Le'elav Dor, where it preceded the world, or preceded the time that it was given to the world by 1,000 generations. Why were the sounds so intensive that they could be heard from one end of the world to the other? This he explains. This is because Torah is intensive. Torah is something which is not optional. It's not where it could have been given to the world or it could not have been given to the world. It is something which is a chiyuv. It is imperative. It is indispensable. Anything which is imperative, anything which is indispensable, always is very strong. Things that are an option, Rishus, that's something that you could take or leave. That doesn't come with such great strength. But something which is imperative and indispensable, this comes with great strength, with great kayach. And Torah is not something that was optional. The Gemara tells us that it wasn't later on. Kodesh Baruch Hu decided he'll give Torah to the world, and he found Israel to give Torah to. But Bereishis Bara Elokim, Bishvil Bereishis, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis. In the right at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world, when it was first all about Machshavta, his earliest thoughts, the plan was to create it with Torah. And that's why it states Bereishis Bara Elokim Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis, right in the beginning. This is why he had the Torah created before yet. And Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imaisa Bereishis, it was conditional. If Torah would be accepted, then the world will be a world. But if not, then it will not. So therefore, when Torah came into the world, it wasn't because it was merely accepted, but it could have been a world without it. This was part and parcel of the creation of the world. And being indispensable, then it's intensive. And therefore, we had these keles, these thunders with great intensity. This is why Torah is called Oz. Hashem Oz la'amo yitein. Ve'ein Oz el Torah. Oz means fierce. Something which is intensive and strong. From here we can have an insight into history. Unfortunately, the generations always refuse to accept this fact. Behold, every generation, there are countries, there are tyrants, there are movements, cultural movements, social movements, that stand up to destroy Klal Yisrael. Why? Why Klal Yisrael? They stand up to destroy Torah, the sages tell us. Stand up to make war against Hashem. As long as Israel is in the world, so this is an edus, this is a testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. As long as his Torah is here, this is a testimony that he is here. And they stand up to destroy Hashem. Therefore, they stand up to destroy Israel. And this we see in every generation. We saw this recently, we saw it with fascism, Nazism, communism, socialism, whatever you want to call it. Every generation merely takes on a different form. Liberalism, whatever it might be. They want to liberate themselves, they want to free themselves from the sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't want to be subjected to laws. In one way or the other, they will try to eradicate Israel that stands up for Torah. Sometimes through brute force. Sometimes through assimilation. Whatever it might be. And they cannot realize that not only Torah is here to stay, but the world is not a world without Torah. Just as you can remove the sun from the world, and you can remove the moon from the world, and you can remove the seas from the world, so can you remove Torah from the world. And what happens when someone tries to tamper by removing the seas or the sun? The nature will rebel. The nature is not someone to fool with. So when you start to tamper by removing Torah from the world, the nature rebels. The physical, the cultural, the social, and the spiritual nature rebels. This is why we find the social upheaval that we live in. Baruch Hu says that Chukim Shechokakti, these are laws and statutes which are embedded in the very fabric of the world. This, what the Torah states, what the Torah dictates, is chayev or potter, guilty or innocent, osur or mutter, forbidden or permitted, tomei or tohor, it is impure or pure. These are not options. These are not options that are left for the dictates or the whims of every generation, where we'll decide this time we'll do this way and next time we'll do a little differently. And we see the results. We saw the results in the past generations, we see the results in our generation. That what the Torah has laid down, that this is guilty, then it's guilty. This is innocent, this is innocent. This is forbidden, then it's forbidden. This is permitted, it's permitted. This is tomei, this is impure, it's impure. Tohor, if it's pure, it's pure. Don't try to change it, because it's unchangeable. And when you change it, you ruin the world, and the world rebels. And this is these are the great upheavals that we are living through today. So therefore, when it came into the world with a crash, Torah didn't come quietly, didn't come silently. Keles ubrokim beonen kovit. It came with a crash, because it was coming to renew the entire world. And the crash went from one end of the world to the other, where kol malchei ha'olam, all of the kings of the world, started to tremble what was happening, until they found out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving his Torah to his people. If we go into this a little more, in this pasuk, in the pasuk that we quoted, it is mentioned three phenomena. Great crashes of thunder, vrokim, lightning, the onan kovit, and heavy clouds. Now, when the Almighty created the physical world, sages tell us He created it from Dalet Yesodus. He created it from four elements. Three of these elements came from above, and one is from below. What are they? They're Ofer. Ofer is the earth. This is from below. And then they were created with Esh, fire, Mayim, water, and Ruach. Ruach is air. And these three were from above. The water also was from above. In Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the creation of the world, it states that the water was created above. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a firmament to divide the upper waters from the lower waters. Here we have three of the four elements. The keles, these were the thunders, sound. Sound is basically ruach. This is the air. Sound is caused by air. Vrokim, which is lightning, this is fire. The onen kovid, the heavy clouds, this is water. So here we have three of the four elements. The last element we do not have, because that was the offer. That was the earth. And Torah was coming, Mishamayim, it was coming from above, down to the earth. So therefore it brought with it great changes in those three elements. But it, as the Torah was coming down, we do not find the change in the earth itself. But rather it brought with it changes in the air, and in the water, and in the fire. Then we find, it states, Kol Shofar Chozak Mi'ayd. And the sound of the shofar was very strong. Why do we find the sound of the shofar? And this, the Maral writes, it's very deep, it's not easy to understand, but he writes consistently as the Kol Shofar. This is the sign of something which is potential coming into reality. For example, if you take a shofar, and how do you make the sound? So you blow into it. So you're taking the ruach, you're taking air. Air is something which is potential. And when it comes out as a sound, so you've taken that potential, and you have made a reality from it. And the shofar always represents the potential coming into reality. So why do we find, many times in the Torah, we find the Kol Shofar? And here in Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, why do we find Kol Shofar? Because this was the time when the potential was coming into a reality. Because before the Torah was given, the world was merely potential. It did not come into its full reality yet. Because what totality, what perfection could there be in the world without Torah? For example, you take a tree. A tree is potential. When does it come into its fullness? When it gives forth fruit. When could the world give forth fruit? It could give physical fruit. But the world was not created merely to give physical fruit. The world was created to perfect itself, to develop itself spiritually. This is the ultimate development. And that could only be when Torah came into the world. For an example, we find that when the world was created, every animal was given a name, a proper name. The lion was called Aryeh, Ari, and the wolf was called Zev, and so forth. These names, it states that Adam HaRishon, the first man, looked into the basic and very character of the particular animal, and he called it by the name which would describe that personality. So the name Aryeh describes the character of a lion. Dove describes the character of a bear. But we find that one creation did not have a name, and that was man. Man was not given his own name. What was he called? Adam. Why? Hashem Adam, because earth was called Adam. It's a question. Everyone was given his own name, and man, who was the Nivchar of the Bria, the most perfect of the creations, didn't even have his own name. He was called Al-Shem O'Adoma because of the earth he was taken from. The answer is because an animal, if you have enough wisdom to explore his total character, you can describe him with a name. But how can you describe man with a name when his total character is something not here yet? It's only potential. When a man dies, then you could give him a name. Then you could see what he is. But before the day of his death, how do you know what he is? He was put on this earth to grow, to constantly become greater. So what is man's character then? Man's character is the power of growth. Therefore he was called Al-Shem Adoma. He was called by the name of earth, because this is the earth's character. The earth also is purely potential. It depends what you do with it. It depends what you, how you plant it, how you plow it. This was the name given to man. So this was the world. And the world came into a potential only when Torah came into it. So therefore we find the Kol Shefer. In general, noise is something which is associated with life. If you would walk into a place where there would be no noise whatsoever, you would describe it as a deathly silence. Because noise is something which is associated with life. This, for example, Dovra Melech said. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me life, not death. Leman yizamecha kovayid v'leidom. In order that I can sing out your praises and not be silent. See, silence belongs to the dead. And sound belongs to the living. This Torah came into the world. And new energies of life came into the world. Not only new energies, but unforetold heights of life came into the world. So therefore the crashes of sounds came into the world and the Kol Shefer. The Gemara in Brachos and Avzayin Amad Beis tells us that there were five kelis, hey kelis. There were five crashes of thunder coming. This seems there's a whole discussion in the sages, the Gemaras, and in the Midrashim. But the Gemara there mentions five. See, what is the significance of five? Because five means it came from every direction. There are four directions, north, west, south, and east, and in the middle. So five means it came from every direction. This is to symbolize that Torah is not something that came from within the world. Torah is something that came from another world and encompasses the entire world. See, it encompasses the entire world. Therefore, when Torah came, its sound came from all directions. And therefore, it was Hey Kalish. Five crashes of thunder. The Gemara goes a little further than this. The Gemara in Masech Tashatz. And Daf Pei Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan said, what does this mean which is written in Tilim? This is in Tilim Samach Ches, Posuk Yud Beis, Hashem Yiten Omer Amavasreis Tzovarav. Hashem Yiten Omer, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave forth his maimon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave forth his words to the world, Amavasreis Tzovarav, it announced itself to great multitudes. Hashem Yitan Eimer, Amavasrei Sovarav, when he came forth his words to the world, it didn't come quietly. It didn't come silently. Not only that, it was not limited. But it announced itself to great multitudes. Now what does this mean, Rabbi Yechanan says? So he says like this. Kol dibur v'dibur shiyotze mipi agvura nechlak l'shivim l'shenis. Every word that came from the mouth of the Almighty was divided itself, subdivided itself into 70 languages. Toni debeiri b'shmul ukepati shefeitzitz sola. Like the hammer which scatters the stone. Ma patish zeh nechlak lekama nitzutzis av kol diva v'diva shiyotze mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nechlak l'shivim l'shenis. This hammer
When it hits a stone, the stone scatters, the stone splits in many directions. So by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave his word into the world, it split in many directions. What does this represent? This represents again that the Torah is not something which is lacking. It's not something which is limited. It's coming from another world, and it's larger than all of this world. And therefore, when it was brought into this world, it is true. It was only given to Yisrael, but it was not limited to Yisrael. The Torah spread over the entire world. And every statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made was split into 70 languages. 70 languages because there are 70 nations. And each nation had its own original language. Seven, we know, is a number which represents fullness. Like we see by the creation of the world. He created the world in 6 days. Everything was complete. The seventh day completed it. The fact is that the word Sheva comes from the word Sova. Sova means fullness. Totally satisfied. And this is why there were 70 nations in the world. 70 actually represents a little more. 70 represents where it's totally full, but they are united. Because the tens unite the individuals. You have 1, 2, 3, 4. These are all proti. These are all individual numbers. And then you have 10. 10 makes it a unit. See, so it unites it. 70 means 7 units, and it's united. This represents that it comes from one source, but it is kolel hakol. It encompasses everything. Therefore, when the Torah came into the world, the fact that it subdivided itself, split into 70 languages for all of the 70 nations, this represents that the Torah encompassed everyone. Only Israel were given the Torah. But that was because the other nations didn't want the Torah. Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Yishmael and he asked them, "Do you want my Torah?" And they said, "What's written in it?" "Leitigna, if you shall not steal." They said, "We can't accept such a Torah. We live by through theft." And they went to Esav. Hashem went to Esav. Esav said, "What's written in the Torah?" And Hashem said, "Leitirtzoch, you shall not kill." And Esav said, "How can we accept such a Torah? Al chai b'chatichya, by us it says, we live by the sword." So two things. Firstly, they didn't want the Torah. Secondly, we see they couldn't accept the Torah because they were their natures were too contrary. How could Yishmael accept the Torah that says you shall not steal and Esav accept the Torah that says that you should not kill? They didn't want the Torah, and they were unable to accept the Torah. But there the chisoron, where was the shortcoming? Not in the Torah. Not that Torah is not for them. The shortcoming was in them, not in the Torah. So therefore the Torah was given to them. The Torah was given to the whole world. And this is why it was given b'shivim l'shenis in 70 languages. The fact is, later on we find that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to write down the Torah on the stones which they were to take with them in the desert and across the Jordan, the command was to write it in 70 languages because Torah encompasses everything. The fact is, this is a reason that the Maral gives why it's possible that even though Torah was given to only Israel, but any individual from any nation has the right to come and to come and take part in Torah. He can convert. Why? Because Torah is unlimited. There are no limitations in it. So therefore no one is outside of the realm of Torah. So this that the nations didn't accept, this was the shortcoming was in them, not in Torah. Therefore it divided itself in 70 languages and spread through the entire world. Now there's a very beautiful medrash. Excuse me 1 minute, please. There's a very beautiful medrash. Which elaborates on this. The medrash is in Shmais Rabo, Perikei, Ostes. States as follows. It's a pasuk in Iyuv, Lamed Zayin Hey. Yareim Kel Bekele, Nifleis Oso Gedulais Vele Nedo. Yareim Kel, Yare means tremendous noises. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered with his voice, and Nifleis Oso, and he did great miracles. What does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered with his voice, and he did all types of great miracles. Pele. So the Medrash says, this goes on Matan Torah, when Torah was given. And these colors. Kishenosra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah b'Sinai. When Hashem gave the Torah in Sinai, Here b'keil Yisrael play play. He showed wonders of wonders to Yisrael. Ketzad, for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaber v'akol yetzei omachzei b'chol eilam. When he started to speak, the sound went out and it went around the entire world. This sound. Yisrael Shemim Esakol. When Yisrael heard the sound, Bale Min Adorim, first they heard it coming to them from the south. So they ran towards the south, Lekabel Esakol. They ran towards the south to hear what Hashem had to say. Then Midorim Netach Alem Letzofen. All of a sudden, the sound came from the north. Vayorotzim Letzofen. So they ran towards the north. Umitzofen Netach Lemizrach. Then it changed and started to come from the east. And they ran to the east. And from the east it changed and started to come from the west. And they ran to the west. And from the west it changed and started to come from the heavens. So they looked upwards. Then it changed and started to come from the earth. So they looked downwards. Then Yisrael Aimrim Zelezeva Achokha Me'ayin Timotze. There's a posuk in the Yuv, Achokha Me'ayin Timotze. Wisdom, where is it found? They didn't know where it was because it was coming from all directions. But Yisrael Aimrim Mehegen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo Min HaMizrach O Min HaDorim. And they said, where is Hashem coming from? Is he coming from the east? Is he coming from the west? And it states for Cholo Omreim as Hakelish. It says they all saw the thunders, the plural. Hakol Engsiv Kanela Hakolus. They saw it coming from all directions. When Torah came into the world, it didn't come from the heavens or the earth or from the north or the east or the south or the west. It came from all directions simultaneously. And this is why they were confused. Then, when it came from all directions simultaneously, then it was Nechlak La'ayin Kelis. It split into 70 colors. La'ayin Loshon. And then into 70 languages. Kedesh Yishmu Kola Umesh. In order that all of the nations of the world could hear the giving of the Torah also. Now, this shows the fact that it came from every direction. Again, this shows that Torah was something which could not be limited. It's larger than the whole world, and therefore it came from every direction simultaneously. And from the fact that it's split into the 70 languages, this shows because it's not limited. It can't be limited to one nation. So therefore it was split into all of the nations of the world. V'chol umma v'umma shemas kol beloshen al umma. And every nation heard it in their own language. It's not that everyone heard 70 languages. Everyone heard their own language. similar, like when you go to a conference and they're speaking in a few languages and they give you earphones and you tune into the language that you want. Every nation heard it only in their own language. But when the nations heard it, they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. They had to stop listening. They had to run away. Why? Like we mentioned before. First of all, they didn't want the Torah. And secondly, they couldn't accept the Torah. How can they accept the Torah? How can Ishmael accept the Torah that says you shall not steal? Or Esav accept the Torah that says you shall not kill? So they couldn't take it. They had to run away. Aval Yisrael hayu shemin v'lo hayu nizukin. But Yisrael would listen and nothing would happen to them. Ketzer hayakol yeitze, omar avtav chantchuma, du patsufin yeitze. Then it states, it would give, then it states, when the voice came down to Israel, the voice came also divided. Each one heard only what he was capable of understanding. Torah is something we have to be very careful of. We must learn Torah only in accordance to our own ability. Only in accordance to our own strength. If we learn Torah that is not Roy, that is not befitting for us, that's too much above us, then it can be tremendously damaging to the individual. We quoted in a shir not long ago where it states, Arba Niknus Olapardes, four of the great Tanoim, of the great rabbis of the Mishnah, undertook to study the Torah to the greatest depths, to the greatest depths of the Sod, of the concealed wisdom of the Torah, of the Kabbalah. And they were the four great giants of the Mishnah. And one went in and he died. He saw too much and he died. Another went in and he went out of his mind. A third, Acher, went in, became his nitiyos, and he destroyed the garden. He became an atheist. Only Rebbe Kiva was nichnas b'sholem v'yotze b'sholem. He went in peace and he came out in peace. So therefore, a person must be very careful that when he studies Torah, just like when you eat. See, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Mishlei that Shlomo HaMelech says, Dvash, what's also, when you find honey, you come apart, you're walking in the woods, and you find a beehive, and the bees have deserted it, and there's beautiful honey. Be careful. Don't eat too much. Because if you eat too much, you will throw it up. Now here we have, what can be wrong with honey? Honey is so, it's sweet, it's healthy. What can be wrong? But still, if you take too much, you'll throw it up. And Torah is also called Dvash. Dvash ucholav tachas lishincha. It is like honey beneath your tongue. What can be wrong with Torah? But still, if you take a little too much, you'll throw it up. So therefore, everyone has to study in accordance to his ability. So now's the question, if they're all standing at Sinai, and of course, Baruch Hu's teaching Torah, and everybody hears the Torah, what's going to happen? So therefore, Rav Tanchuma said, again, each one heard only in accordance to his ability. The elders heard Torah, which was according in accordance to their ability. The young men heard according to their ability. Haktanim lefi keichon. The children in accordance to their ability. Hayenkim lefi keichon. Even the infants that were still nursing by the breasts of their mother heard Torah, but according to their understanding. Hanoshim lefi keichon. The women according to their understanding. The Ahmesha lefi keichon. And Moshe in accordance to his understanding. And this is what it states, Moshe would speak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer with a voice. What does it mean he would answer with a kol? He would give the voice of Torah down where everyone would understand in accordance to their ability, that no one should get Torah which he could not carry, he could not burden. This is what is meant, Kol Hashem Bekeach. The voice of Hashem is with strength. It doesn't say Kol Hashem Bekeachai with his strength, but with strength. Bekeachai shel kol echad ve'echad. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Torah, this is a sign of a good teacher. A good teacher is someone that teaches each one in accordance to their ability. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can teach Torah, and everyone, he can teach everyone at the same time in accordance to their ability. Now, the Midrash says, maybe you'll say that this is something, though, which is, well, this is a great miracle. This is part of the niflais that we're speaking about. But maybe we'll have a hard time to understand this. So the Midrash says, no. Now, we shouldn't have a difficult time understanding it, because we see the same thing happen by something else. Omer b'yisib ben chanino, im toma atol ha'dover hazeh, so lamod min hamon. If this is difficult for you to understand, so then go study by the mon. The mon was the food that came down in the desert. And first of all, in quantity, how much fell for each person? The same amount fell for everyone. But everyone eats a different amount. But it adjusted itself to everyone's needs. Someone who ate a great deal, then it became a great deal. Someone who only needed a little, then it became a little. Yet when it fell, it was all the same size. That's quantitatively. What about quality-wise? So it states, Hazakenim ketzapichis bedvash, shenem avetamu ketzapichis bedvash. To the zakenim, the old people, when they ate it, it tasted like tzapichis bedvosh, it tasted like cake with honey. That's how it tasted to the old people. Habachurim, hoy echlen isekel lechem. To the young men, it tasted like bread. Hineni mamti lochem lechem in ashamayim. Yainkim, to the infants, it tasted kecholav mistei imam. It tasted like the milk from their mother's breast. Hachelim, to the sick people, it tasted kiselis m'ur of devash, like flour mixed with honey. Ba'akum, and if the goyim, the nations of the world came, and if they ate them on, toamin isai mar v'gad, v'hamon kizera gad. It tasted, in the Torah states, kizera gad, that was a seed, that was a seed which was bitter. To them it tasted bitter. So what do we see? That the mon shoyo min echo netach lekama minim bishvul tzarek kol echad ve'echad. The mon, which basically was one entity, but still it changed its form in accordance to each individual. So was it with the giving of the Torah. Hakol sheyekeach boy was mishtane lekol echad ve'echad sheleyin zoku. It changed, even though it was one, it changed itself for the need of every individual. So no individual would become harmed by it. This is what it's meant. Yareim keil bikol niflois. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu thundered at Har Sinai, he showed pillar plain, miracle after miracle. Now this that we say, that Yisrael was able to come close to the voice. And they could understand it, each one in accordance to their own ability. The Zakenim, the wise, or the infants that were still drinking the milk of the mother. Each one could understand, but at the same time, the nations of the world could not. They could not listen to the call. They had to run away. If they didn't run away, it would destroy them. Because Israel, their soul, walks with the Torah, while the nations were contrary to the Torah. And this is also brought out in another Gemara. The Gemara brings, in also in Masechet Shabbos, Omer of Hananel bar Popa. Rav Hananel bar Popa said, Mao deksiv shimu ki negidim negidim adaber. In Mishlei Ches it states, listen ki negidim adaber, because I will tell you kingly or princely words. Lomanim shel divretere kenogid. Negidim comes from the word Nogid. Nogid means a king or a prince. Why is Torah called with the word Nogid? Listen to me, Ki Negidim Adaber, and I will tell you princely words, kingly words. Why is it called this way? Leimaloch, Ma Nogid ze yesh bo lohomis ulahachyes, Av divreitere yesh bom lohomis ulahachyes. So the Torah, the Gemara tells us, he tells us something very interesting, Rav Hananel. Kingly words, princely words. This is very nice, say. But it carries a sharp edge. In a king's proclamation, life and death lies within it. In a king's proclamation. Every word that comes from a king is yesh bei lahach yesh lohomis. He can decree life with that. He can decree death with that. Ach divrei Torah. Torah also beholds life and it beholds death. Therefore, shimu ki negidim adaber. Listen, and I will tell you kingly words. Haynu domarov. And this is what Rove has taught us. Lemaiminin bo samadachaya. For those that learn Torah with their right hand, then it is life for them. It'll give them a life that is can be compared with no other life. Lemismaolin, lemasmiilin. For those who learn Torah with their left hand, samadamusha, it brings death to. What does it mean with the right hand or with the left hand? So Rashi explains. Lemaiminin asukim b'chol keichom. Those who learn with their right hand, that means people who study Torah with their entire ability. Utrudim lodas seido. And they are concerned to understand the Torah and to understand her secrets that she has to tell us. When a person wants to do some work which means a lot to him, does he do it with his right hand or with his left hand? He does it with his right hand. If a diamond cutter is cutting a precious diamond, he's going to cut it with his right hand, not with his left hand. To those who approach Torah with their right hand, in other words, with a total earnestness, with a total seriousness, with a total dedication, with a total giving over, a mesira, where they give themselves over to Torah, like a faithful craftsman or a talented artist approaches his work. That's lamayni meaning. Then sama dechaya. Then it will give forth life. But lemisma olim, to those who approach Torah with their left hand. What do you do with your left hand? your left hand, you probably can turn on a television set. You don't have to do it with your right hand. You can turn it on with your left hand. So it doesn't mean that much. If you come and you want to move something that's not so important from one, if you're moving something which is breakable and very precious, you move it with your right hand. But if it's not very important, you move it with your left hand. See? Or if you have your mind on doing something else, then you do that with your left hand. To those who approach Torah in that manner, Sama the Musa. Then, Sama the Musa. Then it holds in it death. And this is why Shlema Melech King Solomon said, Shimu, listen to me, Ki negidim, negidim adaber. I will give over to you, I will speak to you words of kings. He didn't only mean words of kings because these words are words which are fit for a king. Or they belong to the king of all kings, but they're words of kings. Words of kings are proclamations that can hold life and death. This also can hold life or death. Now the question is that the Maral asks, we can understand why Sama Dechayo, why it withholds life. Because it comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It comes from another world. It preceded this world by 1,000 generations, so it's coming from the highest places. And that's the Makor Hachiyus, that's the source of all life. So someone who approaches Torah properly, and he's dedicated to it, and he believes in it with all of his heart, and he is mispalel, he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atochenin Lodom Das, that you should give us from your wisdom. So he grows, and he is coming close to the source of the Torah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on that it states, V'atem advekim b'Hashem elokeichem, chayim kulchem ayeim. Those of you who cleave to Hashem, then you have life. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all life. So this we understand. This is what we say in the Brocha V'chaye, Eilom nota b'sochei. Through Torah you gave us life. Not only a different life in this world, but a different life in the next world. But what does it mean, Sama the Musa? How is it possible that Torah should carry death with it? How is that possible? So this he answers, because what happens if someone comes close to the king? Like we're saying, he cleaves to the king. He approaches the king's palace. He goes into the palace, Palten Shel Melech, and he goes into the inner chambers of the palace. And he approaches the king, but he's not fit to approach the king. He's not someone that's worthy to approach the king. He's not worthy for a king's audience. What happens to him? He's executed. We find the same thing in the Torah. Bahazor HaKorev, Bahazor HaKorev Yomos, Yomos. That when it comes even to, when it comes to the Mishkan, to the sanctuary, there only the Kohanim can go close. And if someone who's a Zor, he's a stranger, he's an alien, which means he can be a great person, he can even be a great Talmud Chacham, but he's not a Kohen, and he approaches to where he's not supposed to approach, then the Din is Yomos. He's put to death. Because not you don't walk to the king so porus, so openly. You have to be invited. You have to be announced, you have to be ushered, you have to be given permission, you have to be granted authority. And the closer you become, the more grave the situation is if you don't belong there. So therefore, someone who approaches Torah properly, and he grows properly in Torah, will be brought close to the king, and they will have life from it. Sama Dechayo. that someone who approaches Torah not properly, carelessly, lightheadedly, or perhaps with the wrong thoughts, he wants to study Torah to see. He'll see what it has to offer. If he likes it, good. If he doesn't like it, then he'll reject it. Or to challenge it. So forth and so on. Or he approaches it merely as a secular wisdom, not as a wisdom of Hashem. See, he's approaching to the Heichal HaMelech, to the palace of the king. But he's a Zohar, he doesn't belong there. Then will be Sama the Musa. It will be a power of death. Then finally, the Gemara tells us that actually, at the giving of the Torah, Klal Yisrael came so close to Torah and so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that really it was too close for them also. Is it possible for a man to climb to the utmost secrets of the Torah? And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on Har Sinai to teach this Torah. So the Gemara tells us here in Masechta Shabbos, Omer Bishua ben Levi. Bishua ben Levi said, Kol diva v'divor she yotze mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu yotze nishmosen shel Yisrael. Every statement, every word that came down from Hashem on Sinai that Klal Yisrael heard, yotze nishmosen shel Yisrael, it was too great even for Yisrael, and their souls went out. It was so great that for an instant there was yetzias neshama, there was departing of the soul. Shenemar nafshi yotzo bidvore, as it states that my soul went out with your word. So now the Gemara asks, u'me'ache shemidibo rishen yotzo nishmosom. So if after the first word they heard, the soul went out, so dibusheni ha'kibru. So now the second words that they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were already dead. How did they hear it? Holy tau she'osid lachis be'mesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought tau, dew, that he had put away for tchias ha'mesim. When the time comes to bring life back to the dead, Kodesh Baruch Hu will do that with a special towel, a special dew. He took from that dew the Hechya Yisrael, and he made them live again. And therefore they were able now to hear the rest of the Torah. And the Gemara bases this on a pasuk in Tehillim, in Samaches. Samaches posuk yud. Geshem nidoveish toni felakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down rain. He brought down a rain which was nidoveish, which had a special benefit to the people. Nachloscho v'nilo atochananto. To your people who became totally weary, you reinstated. Your people became totally weary. After they heard the first word of Torah, it was too much for them. It was Torah at its ultimate purity. It was too much for them. So they became totally weary. They were almost dead. And you, Geshem Nedovish Toni Falem, you rained down upon them a rain which had a special benefit to them. Atochananto. And with that you reestablished them. And what was that? That was the tau, that was the dew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put away, l'hachesh be'amesim, to give life to the dead when it comes time for tchias amesim, to bring up the dead again. What does this come to teach us? This comes to teach us two things. Firstly, we see what the level of the Torah is. It's far beyond this world. And therefore, when it came into this world and it was so intensive and so pure and unadulterated, that even Klal Yisrael, the nation that was to accept it, it was theoretically too much for them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to revive them after every dibur, after every statement. And secondly, we see that they came to such heights, they came to the heights of Tchias HaMesim, because at those heights that they were at, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to give them this Tau, in order to revive them. This was the heights of Tchias HaMesim, the heights of the reliving of the dead. From all of this, firstly, we have an insight into what now the Torah is telling us when it states, "Vayhi vayem ashlishi." It was on the third day, "Bi'es habeker." "Vayhi keilis uvrokim." There were great thunders. Now, not only great thunders, but crashes of thunder that went around and around the world, and not a single thunder. But they were. It came from every direction, and every direction simultaneously. Where Klal Yisrael didn't know which way to turn, because Torah was not coming from one aspect; it cannot be limited. It was coming from every direction simultaneously, and then the kolis were further split into 70 sounds, 70 crashes, and then the 70 crashes became the 70 languages, and great miracles took place. Because every nation heard only their language, and every individual of Israel heard only the Torah that was the Torah which was right for him, the Torah that was befitting for him. Uvrokim, lightning, the keles is the ruach, the vrokim, that's the air, and the vrokim is the fire, the onen kovid, and the onen kovid is the cloud, that's the water. All of the elements came involved. And the sound of the shofar was kept getting stronger and stronger, because this represented a potential coming into its reality. You take a shofar and you blow air. The air is only a potential, and from there comes out a sound. The world was coming into its potentiality. The nation trembled, but not only did the nation tremble, but all of the nations of the world trembled. This is what Yisro heard. According to one opinion, he heard the giving of the Torah. How did he hear giving of the Torah? He wasn't there. Because all of the nations heard the giving of the Torah, and they came to Bilam, they thought that the world was coming to an end. This is what he heard. And the they came to such heights of Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give them a special life-giving dosage in order to keep them alive so they could hear the rest of the Torah. This all represented how far above us the Torah is, but still it was brought into this world, and therefore it had to come with tremendous crashes and lightnings and everything else, miracles. And the intensity of the Torah, of all of these miracles, show, because this is not something that was optional, it could happen or it could not happen, but this is part and parcel of the world. The world cannot be without it. Therefore, Torah is unchangeable. We shouldn't try to tamper it. We must try to change ourselves, but not Torah. What the Torah decrees is decreed. And if we try to change the Torah, that's changing the world. You try to change the world, the nature, it rebels against you. Then, it's kinegidim. It are words of kings. Just like the words of kings behold life and death, so does Torah. If it's approached properly, it brings life to the person from the highest sources, like we see. But if it's approached not properly, then it's like someone who's approaching the castle of the king Who's unwanted? And then, heaven forbid, it brings the opposite. And from here we learn, firstly, what kind of attitude to have towards Torah. And what Torah can do for an individual, what it does for the world. Secondly, what we must learn from here is the great simcha that a Jew has, the schus to learn Torah. This is what we make in the brocha. Asher nosan lonu es teirosai, asher bochar bonu mikolo amim venosan lonu es teirosai. That he, when we go to the Sefer Torah, we make a brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen us from all of the nations to give us his Torah. And we approach a Sefer Torah, and we have the schus, the privilege to learn from his Torah. This must be the attitude. It preceded the world by 1,000 generations. Actually, 974 it preceded the world, but it preceded the giving into the world by 1,000 generations. And Chem de Genuse, it's the most precious of all of the Almighty's treasures. And therefore, when an individual, a Jew, has an opportunity to learn Torah, whether it's for 100 years or 100 minutes or 1 minute, the proper attitude is Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim, that he has chosen us from all of the nations. V'nosan lonu es teirosai, and he gave us his Torah. His chem de genuza, which was more precious to him than anything else. The fact is, when he gave it, it states the Malachim created a whole rebellion. They said, why are you giving this chem de genuza that for 974 generations has been concealed in your most precious places? Why are you giving it down to earth? And if we approach it in this manner, then it will be a samu dechaya, then it becomes a source of life. We should all be zecher to the great simchas haTorah that Torah brings, which was given in Chag Shavuos, and we should be all be zecher to a Chag Sameach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.